very passionate about my activism. It's kind of called passive activism, along to raise awareness around transgender issues. Because of my involvement over the years of being with the support groups, the Buffalo Bells, and then worked with Camille and others to form Spectrum, Camille Hopkins, that is. We had those groups to help others within our community, but also saw the need back in 2003 when SONDA was passed, the Sexual Orientation Non-Discrimination Act, but with the transgendered wording and inclusion taken out of the bill, and the transgender community was in essence thrown under the bus, and that's where GENDA was promised to be put forth, so they would bring a bill about to, you know, get protections for the trans community. But that's the way they were able to get SONDA passed. It was mm-hmm. by taking that wording, because there was objections to having transsexual or transgendered wording and inclusion in that bill. Mm-hmm. So
where do we stand now? I mean, where's this country going?
Sadly, that we have in the, I want to say the GOP, then within this country and in the state of the White House, the past couple of years has been very problematic with the strength of the GOP, and there have been numerous bills across. I think there was I want to say 40 or more anti-transgender bills across various states, municipalities across the country. But thank God, all of them have been defeated. But what it has done, it has raised awareness of the need for trans protections, and raised awareness and understanding of what it means to be transgender and all the varieties under that umbrella. Mm-hmm. And as hard as it's been to try to fight for those protections, I think it's moving in the right direction. And I think we've seen the change and shift this past political vote here, and we're winning back the House, we've already seen things moving in different directions. Mm-hmm. And specifically even here in a more, you know, closer in New York State, mm-hmm. it's made a huge difference when taking over both houses of the government. And and you can see in the past week, passing GENDA after 16 years, and passing the bill against conversion therapy.
So where else do we need to go?
Well, I think we need to continue. This journey of mine and is from male to female is enlightened me to the need of women across the board. And I think we need to continue to educate our daughters and our sons, that matter, that women matter, and change, keep pushing for, more women in government, we need to have more equal rights along those lines. It's far too many been a man's world, and I think we're seeing the push, the Me Too movement. I think it's a huge thing. I think it's a way we need to continue to fight along those lines. My journey it just highlighted all that. I always was fought for women's rights, but it wasn't until a totally different dynamic when you're faced with it face to face, and those barriers, if you want, are put in your face, and it makes it, too real, to be thought of as less just because you're of who you are, is wrong.
What was it that kept you going? I mean, you talked about it being a process, but some people don't get to the point where you are.
The need to be who you are, and it's as strong. It's I think anybody knows that or whatever. But sometimes the journey and the process is very costly and difficult. One, because of just the fact of maintaining a job and discriminating against it. I was very fortunate on all those lines. One, I was able to have a transitioning later in life at age 50. I was established I had a good career in financing, so that when I did transition, I was able to take advantage of some surgeries, some facial surgeries, and things like that. But many can't afford to do. That helped, I think, truly helped me interact and interface with society without being judged as harshly. And again, just that. But it still comes down. It still came down that I had to. There was no choice. I just had, you know, whatever I could do to be me. And you know, it was a process for me to figure out. I mean, even though in my early years I knew I had these feelings, once I admitted to myself and accepted it, then it was a process of how do I do it. I was always very focused on, and maybe initially too much so, to maybe a little bit of hyperfeminism, but I was always focused on what it takes to try to, you know, be a very observant of other women and how they interact and how they dress and all of that. And I tried to learn. I wasn't raised among other women, and I had to learn how to be a woman and interact in that world.
But you know, from hearing the stories of other folks, that not everyone gets to that point.
Exactly, and well, that's again because it takes
or don't know how to get to that.
Yeah,
point.
Yeah, well, it becomes, you know? One. It takes. I mean, it takes a you know. I don't want to say courage, but it takes. You have to be willing to. There are sacrifices. There's less now than there was, but there's still, for many, they don't get there because of they know the risks. If they do, this happens. If they tell their employer or try to come out, you know, to employer, they'll lose their job. This is where gender is so important. And you know, losing your job, then you lose your means of financial support. You may not lose your housing. You may, but also in a bigger
health
picture,
insurance.
It truncates your transition, because your transition for many, not everybody needs to have surgeries, but many that transition fully and fully want to have a full, you know, you can you know, transition socially, and you can transition, you know, medically transition, and that means, you know, taking hormones and having surgeries, and again, it depends on individual where they want to take that and where they are comfortable. But those that want to have surgeries to fulfill themselves, then they're very expensive. And again, thank you. There are a lot of companies that are now including them in their healthcare plans and allowing those surgeries and things to be covered.